71 years old, she realized that she had never actually accepted God as her God. He was her parents' God, her husband's God, her kids' God, her friends' God. Her statement was, "I just thought that I would get in through osmosis, I guess. I was here and I was involved. I'm a good person. I paid my tithes, but I never actually made a decision." And when I heard this story, my heart was broken because for a couple of reasons. For one, that this lady lived her life this way for all of those years, thinking that everything was good when actually she had never actually made a decision to serve the Lord. And my other thought, the reason is because I wonder how many people are sitting on church pews this morning who are in the same boat, who have lived a good life but never made a decision. Their parents served God, they went to church. When they got out of the house and married their husband or their spouse, and they went to church, and they went to church with them, and they served the Lord, so to speak, but they never made a decision to make him their God. And they just think, "I'm there. It's good enough." And not that, you know, you can, all those things are good things, and I'm not telling you not to do those things, but I'm saying at some point we have to make a decision. At some point, all those things are well and good, and we need to do those things, but if we haven't actually made a decision to serve the Lord, then are we doing it? What are we doing it for? What's the reason? What's the purpose? For 71 years, this lady went to church and thought, "I'm a good person. I'm going to church. I'm serving God," but in her, never had actually made a decision. And she was telling this, and she said, I was sitting there thinking while you were preaching, she was telling the evangelist in her, "I was sitting there thinking, I've never actually made a decision. I've been to church my whole life, and I've been around church, and I've done all the things, but I don't know that I've ever actually made the decision." I often wonder about the rich young ruler, and I wonder if he was in the same boat. Something compelled him. Something made him go to Jesus. Something compelled him to ask the questions, but he was never compelled to change. Luke 18, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me, Luke 18, beginning in verse 18. It says, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments." And in in Matthew chapter 19, verse 18, he says, "Which ones?" When Jesus says, "Follow the commandments," this dude is like, "Which ones should I follow?" Jesus replies, "You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." And the man replied, "I've obeyed all of these commandments since I was young." And when Jesus heard his answer, he said, "There is still one thing that you haven't done. Sell all of your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. This guy asked the right questions, right? He asked the right questions. It wasn't that he asked the wrong questions. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, he says, someone came to Jesus with this question. It was this guy. He said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I need to do to get there?" It was all about works for him. He looked at it as, I have to do something. There is a work involved. I have to do something to get there. I have to earn it. There has to be a quick way to get to heaven. Right? We can't comprehend. It's hard for us to comprehend as humans that no matter what we do, Jeannie, we'll never be good enough. That it's hard for us to understand that all we have to do is ask Jesus to forgive us, and that's it. It's hard for us to get that because we think we have to work for it. We have to do this. We have to do that. If we're a good person and we do all the right things, then we'll make it. It can't be as easy as asking Jesus to come into our heart and live with us. It can't be that easy. What do I need to do? What good deed must I do? I've done all these commandments, right? I've got that down. What deed must I do? If I help a homeless guy, will that get me there? And Jesus' response was, you know the commandments. Why ask me? Verse 17 says, why ask me about what is good? Jesus replied, there is only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments. Jesus said, hey, buddy, you know how it works. Keep the commandments. Follow the law. You got this. But then verse 18, but which ones? There's so many. There has to be a few that are more important than the rest. So which ones do I need to follow? Because if I cannot follow the rest and just follow one or two, I got this. I want to walk the line. I want to walk the rope. I want to do as little as possible to slide in. That's how he comes across, right? He says, I know you say keep the commandments, but which ones exactly do you mean? Do I have to keep all of them or just one or two? Is there an easier way? Jesus replied, you must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Verse 19, he says, honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, okay, I'll play your game. I'll give you a list. If that's what you want to do, I'll give you a list. And so he gives him the list. And then in verse 20, he says, I've obeyed all of these commandments. I've obeyed all these. What else must I do? See, he was compelled to ask Jesus, what can I do to inherit eternal life? He's compelled then to ask him, there must be more. There must be more than just following these commandments because I've been doing this and I don't really feel like that I'm getting anywhere. There was something inside of him that compelled him to say, there must be more. What must I do? What else? What else is it? What else must I do to get there? I've been doing that. What else? What else must I do? I think there are many of us that we've been doing all the same, been doing all the stuff, right? We've been coming to church. We've been going through the motions. We're good people. We're coming. We're serving. We're paying our tithes. But what else? What else is there? We've been leaning into hearing from God the whole year. And the question that we need to be asking, well, maybe this is the question that we need to be asking, but maybe changing the wording a little bit. Because this guy says, what else must I do? And I think we need to be asking the Lord, what else can I do? I'm doing all of this stuff, but what else can I do for you, Lord? Not because we're trying to get something, but what else can I do because you're asking me to do it? But when he tells you, you can't be like this guy, right? The young ruler was compelled to ask what else. There has to be more. This whole dialogue, it appears that he was looking for the easy way out, the quick fix, but he was compelled to think, there has to be more than what we're doing. There has to be more going on, than going through the motions. There has to be more to this. Even though the beginning of this dialogue, it appears that he just wants the easy fix. It appears that if he could just do one of the commandments, he's good. But then he says, what else? What else? This can't be all of it. This can't be it. This can't be everything. This is it. All I got to do is follow these six commandments and I'm good. I'll make it in. There's got to be more. Verse 22 says, when Jesus heard this answer, he said, there is still one thing you haven't done. This is Luke again. We're switching back. He says, sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. What else can I do, Jesus, to get eternal life? Follow me. Sometimes we get hung up on the fact that he told him to sell all his possessions, but really what he was asking him to do was burn the plow. It wasn't about the possessions. It wasn't about his stuff. It wasn't that you have to be poor to get to heaven. It was that he was asking him to burn the plow, burn your backup plan. Because right now, you have this backup plan. Right now, you're not depending on God. Right now, you need to burn the plow. 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 21 tells the story of Elisha going and anointing Elijah. He goes, and it's such a weird, weird thing. Elijah goes and he just throws his cloak on Elisha and then walks off. Like, what are you doing? Are you kidding me? And Elisha runs after him. It tells the story. He runs after him and he says, let me kiss my mother and father goodbye and I'll follow you. And Elijah's like, what are you talking about? You just threw your coat on me. What am I talking about? So Elisha, verse 21, it says, Elisha returned to his oxen and he slaughtered them there. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast the flesh. And he passed around the meat to the townspeople, and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. Elisha burnt the plow. He sold all that he had to follow Elijah. He gave it all to the poor, to the townspeople. It wasn't so much about selling the possessions. It was Jesus telling him to burn your plow and follow me. Jesus is telling the guy, sell your stuff, burn the plow, and follow me, and you'll have treasure in heaven. I don't know about that. In our journey to hear from God, many of us are asking the questions, and then when we begin to hear from God, and he begins to tell us what to do, are we willing to burn the plow? If he says to you to sell all of your stuff and follow me, are you going to be willing? Are you going to be willing to step out when he says, go to this land and I'm going to give it to you? Are you willing to leave everything that you know and walk blindly, not knowing where you're going, to follow him? Abraham left everything that he knew. On a whim, honestly. This is the first conversation we see recorded that he had with God. And God says, come with me. And it says, he got up and he left not knowing where he was going. Gas is $3.50 a gallon and he left not knowing where he was going. Elisha burned the plow and said, all right, Elijah, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, I go. Elijah's getting ready to be taken into heaven. And he's telling Elisha, you stay here. And he's like, nah. You threw your cloak on me, buddy. I go where you go. None of this stay here. I'm going. I think about Ruth, and she just followed. She followed Naomi. She's like, I'm going with you. I'm not staying here. I'm going with you. But how many of us, if Jesus said, if God said right now to you, burn the plow, would you say okay? Or would you be like the younger ruler, standing in front of Jesus, asking him all the right questions, but the final answer, you're like, no, I don't want that. Burn the plow. Burn the backup plan. God does not need your backup plan. He doesn't need it. He does not need your backup plan. When God called me into the ministry, I didn't want to be in the ministry. I'd seen too many things. I just didn't want to be in the ministry at all. And I was really struggling with it. And I remember talking to a couple people. And I remember one person in particular. I love the man. But he said, you need to have a backup plan. What if it doesn't work out? I'm like, I don't know. I've not thought that through. I'm 18 years old. And God has told me to go into ministry and go to Bible college. And he's like, you need a backup plan. And tried to talk me out of going to Bible college. I mean, he didn't succeed. So obviously, if he had been able to succeed, it probably wouldn't have been God in the first place, like I said before. But I think about people. He wasn't the only one that said things like that to me. He wasn't the only one that said, you need a different plan. I mean, there's a person in Mountain Home right now that probably thinks, I mean, he's probably like, man, I didn't think that was going to happen. I know he thinks that because he told someone that I'd probably end up in jail before I'd ever make a preacher. So I mean, I didn't stay the night. But we have this, we ask God and we're standing there and we're saying, God, what's next? Lord, we want to be used. God, send me. Here I am. Send me. And then God says, okay, here it is. And you're like, uh-uh, I ain't working in the nursery. No. I don't want to work in the nursery. I don't like babies. I'm not changing diapers. By the way, we need some help in the nursery. No, I'm not working with those teenagers. Not doing it. They smell bad, and they act awful, and they don't respect nobody. Here's the thing with this generation. They don't just give respect like the generation before. You're right. It's got to be earned. It's got to be earned. I don't want to work with kids. I don't want to do that. Then stop asking God what you want him to, what he'll have you to do. Because if you're just going to tell him no whenever he lays it out, well, this is what I want you to do, then why are you even asking him to begin with? Burn the plow. God doesn't need your backup plan. Proverbs 16:9 says, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. The ruler had a plan, right? And he thought Jesus would give him an easy answer. But when he said, burn the plow, verse 23 says, but when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. He was sad because he didn't want to do that. He said, I'll do anything but burn my plow. I'll do anything but sell my stuff. I'll do anything. But we never see in Scripture again from this guy. We never follow Jesus. This is recorded in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. This story right here is recorded by all three of them. It happened. The guy is standing there, and we never hear from him again. What happened to him? He went away sad. He never made a choice to turn his life to follow Jesus. If this guy had made a choice to follow Jesus in that moment, we wouldn't know him as the rich young ruler. We'd know him by his name. And what would he have accomplished? What would he have done for the Lord? What would he have done? Things would have been different. Things would have been changed. His life, his generations that followed him would be different. But because he said, I don't want to burn the plow, I'll do anything but this, God. I'll do anything but this. But Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And if he never chose to follow him, then he didn't make it to that eternal life. Some of us have lived our lives like the rich young ruler, like the lady that I mentioned at the beginning of this morning. We have went through the motions. We have come to church. He was the God of our spouse. He was the God of our parents. He was the God of our children. He's even the God of our friends. But we've never actually made it. We've never actually made him our God. We've prayed. We've come. We've volunteered. We've tithed. We've served. But we've never really made the decision. We just thought osmosis will happen. But at the end of the day, osmosis doesn't happen with Jesus. We have to make a decision to follow him. We have to make a decision. It's not so much about what happens right now. It's not so much about what's going on yesterday. It's about, have you made a decision to follow Jesus? God can move in your life and you not be a follower. We see it in Scripture. He touched people's lives. He healed people. He changed their lives. Some of them followed him. Some of them didn't. Have you made a decision to follow him? Have you made a decision to follow him? Ask everyone that would to stand to your feet. Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for what you're doing in this place. Lord, I thank you for each and every person that's here. Lord, I pray that you just move in their lives today, God. Lord, I just pray that you touch them, Lord, right now, right where they are. I just want you to examine your own life. I don't know if you've made the decision or not. Only you will know. But maybe you're here and maybe you've served. Maybe you're doing things in the church. But you're sitting there going, you know, I've always been in this, but I've never actually made the decision. I'm a good person. But I've never made a decision to actually follow him. And this morning, I want to make sure that I've made that decision. I want to invite you to come. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. You say, I've never made the decision to follow him. And this morning, I want to make that decision. I want to invite you to come. But maybe you're here and you say, you know what, when the time comes, I want to be willing to burn the plow. I want to be willing to burn the plow. I haven't been at different points, but when he asked this time, when he asked, I want to be willing to burn the plow, regardless of what it is, regardless of what he's asking me to do, I want to be willing. I want to invite you to come. I want to pray with you. I want to believe with you. You say, I want to be willing to burn the plow. I want to invite you to come. Don't miss it. Don't miss it this morning. Don't miss it. Summer coming. You won't be the first. I want to be willing to burn the plow. Regardless of what he asks me to do, I want to be willing to do it. I don't want to be like the rich young ruler. I don't want to say, I'll do anything but that. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Lord, I thank you for the ones that responded. And Lord, I pray that you just begin to move and you begin to touch. I pray that you begin to move in their lives, Lord. That you begin to touch them right now. That you begin to make a way where it seems like there is no way. We just thank and we praise you this morning. Lord, if there are still some in their seats that need to get to that point that they're willing, Lord. Lord, that when the question is asked, that they will be willing to burn the plow, Lord. I pray that you help them, that you give them the strength to do that. We just thank you. We praise you this morning. If you feel led to come and pray around this altar, feel free to do so. Billy, I need you to come up here, my friend. I got to be obedient. Billy's is having some knee problems. I feel like the Lord is telling us today to pray for him. He knows all well about healing and what God can do. But I want us to gather around him. I want us to pray for him right now. It's been bothering him. It's been giving him problems. It's causing him to not be able to do some of the things he needs to be doing. So I want us to believe together that God will heal him right now. Lord, you said in your word that if we had known him of the old, the prayer offered in faith would heal them, Lord. It would raise them up. And Lord, I pray right now. I pray right now. I'm telling you now because I want you to be here and I want you to invite people. Next Sunday night, Billy's going to tell his story, his testimony, and I want you to be here. We just prayed for him, but he has an incredible testimony what God's done, and he's going to share it next Sunday night, and I encourage you to get people here, all right? I encourage you to get people here. It's a powerful testimony. It truly is. So.
All right, so today we were celebrating our seniors. So Bailey Painter. So we had three, and two of them were unable to be here. So Matthew Spurlock and Haley Krotz. So she didn't really want to have to come up here. But so we got you a Bible. It's a study Bible. So hopefully you will use it for years to come. We love you, and congratulations. Yes, so there's going to be cake out there and refreshments. Do not leave it all here for me, okay? Listen, Christina made it, and that icing, if you don't like super sweet stuff, I tasted it. It was really good, really good, and it's not, like, super sugary. So no service tonight. No service tonight. Reach out to people in your community. See if anybody needs help. Let us know if anybody needs help. I know that, I mean, my kids can pick up sticks, so, you know, they're okay at that. But, so just reach out, let us know, you know, if you have people that need something, we might have it, or we might can connect them to it. I know that they've already been in contact with Convoy of Hope over in the Mountain Home area, trying to get them to come in to help. So be praying for all the people that have been affected, the lives. I know there have been, you know, some that have passed with this, and just keep those in prayer throughout this week. Don't forget, no service tonight. Prayer Tuesday and Thursday. Be here. Father, we thank you for your protection and your safety over Viola. God, I pray that you would just be with those. You would bring comfort and peace, Lord, to those that have been affected by this storm. And God, that you would bring healing. Lord, I pray that you would just be with us, keep us, and protect us. In your name I pray. Amen.